I'd like to welcome all of you to our worship service this day on the third Sunday of Easter as we gather together across time and space and place. Just a brief note about next week. Next week, our youth are going to be leading the worship service at the 10:30 service. And so we are grateful and excited for them to be leading worship and to use their worship and their liturgical imaginations as we worship and praise God together. So the sermon that I will read will be something that was written by them. So we are excited for that. But for this day, our service will feel like a normal third Sunday of Easter worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed, alleluia. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the wellspring of grace, our Easter and our joy. Amen. Immersed in the promises of baptism, let us give thanks for what God has done for us. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your voice thundered over the deep and water became the essence of life. Adam and Eve beheld Eden's rivers. The ark carried your creation through the flood into a new day. Miriam led the dancing as your people passed through the sea into freedom's land. In a desert pool, the Ethiopian official entered your boundless baptismal life. At the river, your beloved son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you opened the floodgates of your reconciling love, freeing us to live as Easter people. We rejoice with glad hearts, giving all honor and praise to you. Through the risen Christ, our source of living water, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading comes from Acts, the third chapter. Peter addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified God's servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though Pilate had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in Christ's name, the name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what God had foretold to all the prophets, that God's Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Peace be with you, Jesus says to the disciples. And I imagine in this moment, peace is the very last thing that they are feeling. At this point in Luke's Gospel, we are still on Easter Sunday. The parts of chapter 24 that we skipped over to get to our reading is that the chapter opens with the resurrection of Jesus and Christ appearing to the women, who then go and tell the disciples, but the disciples do not believe the women. We then have the walk to Emmaus, where Jesus appears to two other disciples, and now those two who encountered Jesus on the walk to Emmaus are discussing what happened on the road with the other disciples. And that is where we find ourselves in the text this morning. Jesus entering the room as the disciples are trying to make sense of everything that has been seen and heard and experienced. And Jesus greets them by saying, "Peace." And I wonder if they felt that he was pretty out of touch. Because for several days, the disciples had not known peace. They had shared a final supper with Jesus. One of their own betrays him, and they watched as their beloved teacher and friend is arrested and beaten and crucified. All of the 12 disciples betrayed, denied, or abandoned him, and the women could do nothing but look on. Tensions were high these days between the Jewish people and with the Romans, and between those who had been following Jesus with the Jewish leaders and the Romans. And now all day the disciples have been hearing stories that Jesus is alive. But some of them had seen him and some of them had not. They were wondering if it was true. They wondered if it was truly Jesus' body that could be raised from the dead, or if it would just be his spirit, if he would just be like a ghost. And they probably wondered if it was true, would Jesus be upset with them for having denied, deserted, and abandoned him? Everything must have felt so confusing. The information must have been overwhelming. They must have been wondering, what on earth are we supposed to be doing now? And then Jesus shows up to them with this unlikely message, "Peace be with you." And in that moment, all of the disciples now experience the reality of the resurrection. That Jesus is alive, and not just in spirit, but his real, actual human body, complete with the wounds, who will still eat with them. And now, having witnessed this, the disciples are invited to live into and live out the reality of Jesus' resurrection and triumph over death. In saying, "Peace be with you," Jesus offers his disciples forgiveness and comfort, hope and new life. It is a promise that in Jesus the scriptures have been fulfilled and the powers of sin and death have been vanquished. This peace that Jesus speaks over them is unlike any other peace they have known. This peace that Jesus gives them does not change what is happening in the world. The Romans are still occupying and oppressing. The Jewish leaders are still trying to squash out any remnant of those who are following Jesus. But the peace Jesus offers to the disciples changes them and how they understand the world and each other. And the world may be and is filled with hard and scary things, but the peace that Jesus gives means that the disciples know and trust that those things have no power over them anymore. They are freed to live differently. They are freed to radically love the oppressed and the oppressor. They are freed to care about each other and all people and all creation. They are free to forgive as they have been forgiven. And all of these things are made possible by the peace of Christ, which grounds them in their identity as beloved children of God, an identity that can never be taken away from them. And they get to witness to this peace and love that God has made known throughout all of Scripture and all of time, but made most concretely known to the world in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all of this is for you too, because you also know and experience and live out this peace of Christ. You have a baptismal identity as a beloved child of God, which is an identity that will never ever be taken away from you. And this identity of yours, this peace of Christ, which is yours, frees you and all of us to live differently. because the sin and the heart and the scary things of the world have no power over you anymore. Those things still exist, but instead of feeling overwhelmed, we are free to love and care for the whole world as we have been loved and cared for in Jesus without exception. We, like those disciples, are witnesses to the transformative peace and love of God in Jesus Christ. And it is this transformational power of God that can speak and create peace when it feels like peace is the last thing that is happening. It is this transformational power of God that can take the humiliation and death of the cross and make it into the place where the whole world finds its love and its life. It is the transformational power of God that takes ordinary bread and wine and ordinary water and in it gives us God's very self to unite all of us into the one body of Christ. Hear the words from Jesus again, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you, beloved, as you witness to the amazing love of God in Jesus Christ. Peace be with you as we love people and a world desperately in need of God's peace. Peace be with you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing together now the hymn, "The Strife is O'er, the Battle is Done." Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Alleluia. Go in peace, rejoice, and be glad. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.